This is a special edition of Pacifica's Peace Watch for Thursday, November 28, 2002. I'm Verna Avery Brown. On this day, celebrated by many Americans as one set aside for Thanksgiving, we hear from the descendants of those who first occupied this continent that's come to be known as America. Many Native Americans observe this holiday far more critically than others. With the Bush administration's drumbeat for an attack on the Iraqi people, some see stark parallels between America's past and the present. Jay Winter Nightwolf is a programmer at Pacifica Station WPFW in the nation's capital. We begin our Thanksgiving special with his unique perspective.
In 1492, European explorers and invaders stumbled upon an inhabited land. If it was a wilderness at the time, the land would have been still. This land was not without organized and civilized nations. In the 16th and 17th centuries, the Europeans had neither the social organization nor the technology to sustain its outposts and colonies thousands of miles from home. Each year we reenact a mythical event, the Great American Lie, the first Thanksgiving. The symbols of this holiday still include the pilgrims and their big buckles and high hats and Indians with feathers in their hair sitting down to a peaceable feast as equals. The telling of this tale is from the side of the Europeans. Sadly, few of us really know the true story as told by the Native Americans. Let us consider this land that is now called America and its people before the invasion of the European people. They were hunters, planters, medicine people, spiritual leaders, traditional medical practitioners, architects, and the medical practitioners kept the people healthy. The people were at peace with the exception of tribal disagreements. Contrary to popular belief, there were very few warring factions amongst the 500 plus nations that occupied this land from shore to shining shore. That is right. 500 plus thriving nations of people with their own form of government, traditions, and culture. After the European arrival, these nations began to disappear at an alarming rate. Thanksgiving is celebrated as a time for giving thanks, for reflecting back on hardships overcome. The pilgrims' triumph over hardship and starvation is the symbolic manifestation of why we should be thankful. What should the Native Americans be celebrating? Some of you may think this question to be blasphemous, going against dearly held traditions that go back to the very founding of this country. Should you have visions of the pilgrims sitting down to an annual feast of Thanksgiving, allow me to disabuse you of this notion. Thanksgiving, as we know it, dates back to the Civil War when the Union needed all the patriotism it could muster. Abraham Lincoln declared a national day of Thanksgiving in 1863, and it was not until the 1890s that pilgrims became a part of the holiday lie. What could the Iraqi people be thinking about our Thanksgiving, as many of them undoubtedly will die as a result of America invading their homeland? What will they have to celebrate once the invasion gets underway and is completed? Afterwards, their country will be occupied by unwanted invaders. What civil liberties will they lose? They will lose their land and natural resources, the oil. In 1970, Frank James of the Wampanoag was asked by the Commonwealth of Massachusetts to reflect on the Pilgrims' Landing 350 years before. He was not allowed to deliver the speech he wrote because the white people that controlled that committee didn't like what he wrote. Quoting from the book Lies My Teacher Told Me by James Lowen, I would like to close with Frank James' then censored words. Today is a time for celebration for you. It is not a time of celebrating for me. It is with heavy heart that I look back upon what happened to my people. The pilgrims had hardly explored the shores of Cape Cod 4 days before they had robbed the graves of my ancestors and stolen their corn, wheat, and beans. Massasoit, the great leader of the Wampanoag, knew these facts, yet he and his people welcomed and befriended the settlers. Little knowing that before 50 years were to pass, Wampanoags and other Indians living near the settlers would be killed by their guns or dead from their diseases that we caught from them. Although our way of life is almost gone and our language is almost extinct, we, the Wampanoags, still walk the land of Massachusetts. What has happened cannot be changed. But today, we work toward a better America, a more Indian America, where people and nature, once again, are important. I'm Jay Winter Nightwolf.
Vernon Belcourt is the Director of International Affairs for the American Indian Movement Grand Governing Council. Earlier this month, he addressed an anti-war rally in Columbus, Ohio.
Bonjour, Anishinaabe, Wabananini Indigenous Cause, Ajijok Indo Dame, Gawa Babi Kanikog Anishinaabe, and Dana Kiwad. I'm greeting you by saying, greetings, dear people. My real name is Wabananini, Man of Dawn. My missionary colonial name is Vernon Belcourt. I'm a member of the Crane Clan of the great Anishinaabe Ojibwe Nation, and I come from a place called White Earth, which is the homeland of the Anishinaabe Ojibwe people, Anishinaabe, commonly called Chippewa. My heart swells when I look out and see all the brothers and sisters, nieces and nephews, children who are gathered here today. You, along with the hundreds and millions of people across this country, called America, and other brothers and sisters worldwide who are standing for peace and against war, are the real patriots of this land and the real patriots for peace worldwide. I congratulate you for being here. One day after the tragic event that took Paul and his wife and daughter and others into the spirit world, I referred to Paul Wellstone, more than 2,000 of your colleagues stood at the state capitol in Minnesota, joining the 150,000 or more in Washington, D.C., and others throughout this country, which is the real majority in this land. And our numbers will continue to swell because we have the responsibility to give a check to the Bush government to halt their reign of terror around the world. came for justice with dignity for the Iraqi people, the people of Palestine, Guatemala, Colombia, and all oppressed peoples around the world. Here today are members of different indigenous nations of this land. We are Ojibwa, we are Dakota, we are Lakota, and I'm sure that many more of our people of our various nations are here in the crowd. How interesting that we should be standing here in the State House in a city named after the colonial pirate and butcher Christopher Columbus. How ironic. But perhaps that is why we are here today. I congratulate those of you who stood here on October 12th, as we also stood at the Columbus Monument in front of the Union Station in Washington, D.C., where there's a very large 35-foot statue of this colonial pirate, understand, made out of white Italian marble, a correct color, incidentally. If you went to indie.com, you could download pictures in color, because that white statue is now red and white with the blood of our people that was spilled on that statue on that day. Many of the right-wing ministers and other so-called leaders of this country always refer to America's values. They talk about being Christian, God-fearing, peace-loving people. And fortunately for us, there are millions of you who believe in that. But the reality is much different when it comes to the warmongers, Democrats and Republicans alike. I want to talk a little bit about the real values, at least of the American government, if not the American people. When Columbus landed in San Salvador Island, now Santo Domingo in Haiti, he was greeted by the Taino people. Columbus said that they were a people of such love and compassion that they would give you their hearts if they could. It seems as if they were a people in Dios, a people in God. From that day, all of our different nations were collectively referred to as the Indians. I told you earlier some of our tribal names in our languages. We all know who we are. I want to talk a little bit from that point about America's rhetoric of genocide that continues yet today. And the words that I'm going to use, I don't want to hurt anyone's feeling, because we want to lift each other's spirits today that we can move forward. But from Indians, we became Injuns, savages, hostiles, redskins, warriors, Indians, braves, chiefs. And then when they brought in and stole great civilizations of people from Africa, they became niggers. When they brought in the Asians, they became chinks. And on, mix, patties, kikes, wops, spicks, wetbacks, honkies, crackers, communists. It's all right to kill communists, right? You always got to demean and degrade and dehumanize a people. Gooks, Japs, Krauts, towelheads, terrorists, diaperheads, America's rhetoric of genocide continues. And they have to do that to perpetuate their culture of war. They talk about American popular culture. What is American popular culture? It's a culture of war. The so-called Indian Wars. The so-called Revolutionary War, which they had all of our people fighting. But it was a war to give power to a group of old white racist, sexist, greedy white men. And they, with their colleagues, still control all economic, political, and military power today. And the day comes when we will have to wrench their greedy fingers from the weapons of power and bring about the real American Revolution that frees all the people. Maybe then we can live in peace and justice for all. The Civil War, the so-called Spanish-American War, where they invaded Mexico, Puerto Rico, Cuba, and the Philippines. The Filipino people became flips. Again, the rhetoric of genocide. Harry Belafonte was right about Colin Powell. On October 12th, for KPFK, Radio Pacifica, I did an interview. And I referred to Colin Powell as a Buffalo Soldier. The announcer said, oh, you shouldn't call him a Buffalo Soldier. Do you have proof of that? I said, well, if him dedicating a memorial to the Buffalo Soldiers in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, doesn't make him a Buffalo Soldier, then I don't know. But unfortunately, when Africans were freed from enslavement, many of them, as Colin Powell today, are buying into it. They took a horse and a saber, and they went out and they slaughtered thousands of our people for the white dominant power structure of this country. Then they slaughtered hundreds of thousands of peoples in the Philippines and extinguished their freedom. The First World War, the Second World War, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the war against Iraq, the war against Afghanistan, the butchery of the people of El Salvador, of Guatemala, of Chile. That is America's popular culture. And we have a responsibility to change it, to bring about a culture of peace and nonviolence. In 1999, speaking in Guatemala City, Bill Clinton said the following. The United States was wrong to have supported Guatemala security forces in their brutal counterinsurgency campaign that slaughtered thousands of Guatemalan civilians. Go to the Guatemala Human Rights Commission. Log on to the report of the Historical Clarification Commission, and you will find during Bush 1 that deaths against the peoples of Guatemala intensified 2034. The charts are there. Bill Clinton admitted guilt for the terrible crimes against humanity by the terrorists, United States government, and the Central Intelligence Agency. Ask Jennifer Harberry, whose husband was tortured to death by CIA operatives. And the reason I say that and share that with you During the time that apartheid was crumbling, supposedly in South Africa, the Afrikaners control all economic, political, and military power. The Africans of Azani are still living in the shacks and shanty towns throughout South America. I honor Mugabe for now realizing for the people to be free, they must free the land. Anyhow, many American politicians were going to preach to the apartheid leaders in South Africa. Senator Ted Kennedy was one of them. After some time, Roelof Pikbatha, the foreign minister at that time, said, "Hold it. Excuse me, Senator Kennedy, but some of us strongly believe that Americans are the last people in the world that can go around preaching morality. What we are doing to the blacks in South Africa today is what you have already done and continue to do to the American Indian. Since the Pilgrims got off on Plymouth Rock, supposedly fleeing the countries of their origin from spiritual, cultural, social, economic, political persecution, they reversed their roles, and to date, my friends, 16 million of us have been wiped out by the United States government. 300 million in Central and South America at the hands of various U.S.-supported brutal regimes, such as the war against El Salvador, the war against Chile that claimed 60,000 victims in Santiago Stadium, and in Guatemala, my friends, since 1954, when the CIA injured a coup against Jacobo Arbenz. 300,000 Guatemalans, 150,000 Mayan Indians in the last 15 years. We're not talking about 200 years ago. We're talking about now. Who is going to hold George Bush Sr., George Bush Jr., for the crimes against humanity in Guatemala? We are calling for war crimes tribunals. Finally, Israel. Bush called Sharon a man of peace. Boy, is that what they call doublespeak? Sharon a man of peace. Well, how remarkable. When I met Chairman Arafat not long ago in Benghazi, in the country of Libya, I was greeted by the chairman very early in the morning at his hotel suite. The door opened. He came and embraced me. I embraced him, looked him in the eye, he looked me. I said, "Mr. Chairman, we are the Palestinians and the Palestinians are we. Israel is a stepchild of the United States government and U.S. terrorism and U.S. violence. What the Israelis are doing to the Palestinians today is what the United States has already done and continues to do to us for the same reasons. Free Palestine! Stop the war against Iraq! Stop the violence in America! Stop the violence in Cleveland, where a young Indian man was gunned down by a racist police officer in Cleveland. Stand with that community, my friends. Finally, I want to say to you all that it is our responsibility today. It is this generation. It is the young men and women here that will carry on. We must change American culture of violence to a culture of peace with love and dignity for all here and worldwide. Miigwech, thank you very much.
Vernon Belcourt, co-founder of the American Indian Movement and president of the National Coalition on Racism, Sports, and Media, speaking at an anti-war rally in Columbus, Ohio on November 9th. Belcourt is also the co-founder of AIM Radio, heard on www.aicenter.org.